Changing Radio.
There's techniques that you can actually do. We go through those in the book of when a salesperson has fear. And that's one of the biggest reasons why salespeople will not perform. And so we teach them techniques of how to remove that fear and replace that to things in their life that are very powerful.
Jason Forrest, my next guest, talking about the fears of selling and how to overcome them on Self-Talk Radio Show, brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, people and planet-friendly skincare. Find them at Bed Bath & Beyond or online at pureenergybody.com. Welcome to Self-Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My next guest is Jason Forrest. He's the CEO and Chief Culture Officer at FPG, Forrest Performance Group. It's a leading authority in culture change programs. And also, Jason is an expert at creating high-performance, high-profit, and best-place-to-work cultures. He's written 6 books, including Leadership Sales Coaching. What propelled you to write that book, Leadership Sales Coaching?
That's right. Yeah, that was a book that I wrote several years ago. And, you know, the reason why I wrote it is because I couldn't find a single book out there that I felt like was simple enough for a sales manager to follow that would teach them the process, pattern, and strategies on how to be an effective sales coach. So there's a lot of books on coaching out there, and there's a lot of books on sales management, but there weren't really any books out there on sales coaching. And so that's what this book was all about. So it was all about what if you looked at salespeople like an athlete and you started coaching them like an athlete, how would that kind of change your perception, or how would that change what you do? And so, yeah, that book's been a great success. It's turned into the best sales management training program in the world, which is really awesome. And it's used at Hypo University as actually part of their MBA curriculum.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. You know, you also wrote a smaller book, WTF, which kind of cracked me up, Why Training Fails. You said over $164 billion spent annually on training, yet 70% of training fails to produce a positive ROI. Why is that?
Well, it's for several reasons, but the main reason is people don't start with just the basic definition of what training is all about. So training by definition is to change behavior. And so the majority of people out there that have training companies, they don't go with it from just that basic accountability of is what I'm doing for my clients right now, is it actually changing behavior and therefore changing results? And if not, why not? What do I need to do? How do I need to change the environment? How do I need to change what we're teaching? What are the leashes? We call them the leashes, which are the stories, the reluctances, the rules, or the self-image that keeps people from performing at their highest possible level. And so that's what we do. I mean, we're constantly hypothesizing, testing, and pivoting, you know, what we're actually teaching to our people. And we're creating training programs versus events. And that's really the big thing. I mean, if you look at, you know, you look at really how do you change behavior, it's more of a program-based approach versus an event-based approach. And so we focus on programs, we focus on making sure there's cultural alignment, making sure that there's sales management alignment, making sure that there's belief alignment so that the motivational levels and the beliefs are supporting the behaviors that we're teaching sales reps.
So how did you get into sales in the first place? What started you on this journey?
Well, I kind of just was born into it. I was one of the kind of rare ones where, you know, most people's families, they tell them, hey, be a doctor or a lawyer someday. Where in my family, sales was kind of the plan A career versus the plan B career, which, again, majority of families, sales is more of a plan B career versus plan A. And so,
interesting.
Yeah. So I was just kind of born into it from, you know, my father I feel like every family member is in some sort of sales career or owns a company. And then Zig Ziglar was my Sunday school teacher growing up. So I also got that constantly.
Wow.
I know.
That's really amazing. Did you appreciate him as your Sunday school teacher as much as the teacher he is now?
Yeah. You know, it was more, you know, back then when I was a kid, it was more what my parents used to incentivize me or leverage me to go to church on Sundays. You know, I mean, it wasn't really a thing I was into. But I definitely was, you know, if I was going to go to church, then yeah, I want to go hear Zig. He's really motivating and he's always got cool things to say and always makes me feel good. And so that's how they leveraged it. But I didn't really understand you know, who he was as this great kind of sales trainer, sales speaker. I didn't know that until I went to college and really understood, you know, who I was actually being taught by, you know, on a weekly basis. But then my mom is a debate coach and been teaching public speaking and debate for almost 50 years now. So just kind of that, you know, it's been in my programming. I wouldn't say that it's in my blood in the sense that I don't believe that salespeople, you know, the whole question people always say is, are salespeople born or are they, you know, kind of made or trained? And I actually believe this, which is very different than a lot of people. I believe that all human beings are actually born to sell. I actually believe that. I believe all human beings are born to sell, meaning that selling is a survival skill, just like, you know, finding food or anything else. It's a survival skill. And every person that always tells me, you know, hey, I don't think that's true because, you know, I can tell you about my daughter who's, you know, 40 years old and there's no way she could sell anything. And then I'll say, okay, well, but tell me about your daughter when she was 8 and when she had no problem asking you to stay up late, you know, and past her bedtime or convincing you to buy her candy at a store or, you know, everyone's born with the capability of actually persuading others to do something that benefits themselves and benefits the person they're selling to. It's just, we kind of learn along the way that it's maybe not socially acceptable, or we pick up kind of bad habits or programming around it that we're not supposed to do it. And all that kind of stuff leashes us and keeps us from doing it. And so what we do at FPG is we go in with that presupposition, that underlying belief that all human beings are actually born to sell, but we need to remove the resistance that has kept you from succeeding at that.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because a lot of times it brings me back to the question of, you know, oh, I can't draw. And Betty Edwards came out with a book of drawing on the right side of your brain. And she teaches just about anybody how to draw. And it's drawing upon that part of your brain that has that limiting belief system. And you talk a lot about belief. Do you work with people's beliefs in changing that belief system and shifting the way that they see themselves in a sales role?
We do. I mean, that's probably our main differentiator across the board from all the other training companies that are out there. So again, that's the newest book that that's going to come out in September. It's called The Mindset of a Sales Warrior, and it's 43 mental toughness strategies on how to remove the resistance that keeps you from selling or from performing. And it's interesting because we have this trademark formula that we created: performance equals knowledge minus leashes. So performance equals knowledge minus leashes. So think of knowledge is, you know, what we've been told to do or asked to do, that, you know, in some conference or some event, I'm sure, like, for example, this podcast that you do, you've had great thought leaders on here that have given people specific strategies on things they can do to get more out of life or to increase their business. Well, the leashes is all the resistance, the limiting beliefs that keeps them from doing what they've been taught to do. And so, like, I'll give you a simple example that makes the most sense is a simple thing to ask a customer is to say something like, okay, well, what holds you back from moving forward with us today? Like, it'd be a simple question and you would get so much benefit from asking that question. You figure out whether it's concerns, hesitations, so that we can obviously, you know, handle those. But the question is, why don't people say that? Don't people ask that question? Well, there's four types of leashes that keep them from doing that. So one is a story, and stories are all external. So a lot of people think stories are internal, but in our world, stories are external. So external based on circumstance, where you would say something like, you know, I don't feel like, I feel like they're going to go with the competition because the competition has a better product than we do, or I don't feel like the economy's right now. I feel like that it's not the right time from an economy perspective. Or they might have a self-image leash. And the self-image is, I don't feel confident to ask that question, or they might have a reluctance, which is, I don't want to come across too pushy or salesy, and so I don't want to ask that question. Or last, they've got a rule. And a rule is really interesting. A rule is anything they see, feel, or hear that they need to give them permission to move the sale forward. So anything they see, feel, or hear to give them permission to move the sale forward. So that would be a rule would be, you know what, if they're smiling, they're buying. If they're asking questions, that means they're interested. Those are all rules that we've created that prevent us from using the knowledge we've been taught to use.
What about price considerations? How do you coach through salespeople who might balk at saying, "Gosh, our product is three times more expensive out there than my competitor. How do I compete on that?"
Yeah. So, well, the first question I would always ask them is, do you believe it's worth it? And I know that's a simple question to ask, but it's amazing how often, you know, I hear from salespeople and managers, you know, my people are just really dying on the whole price objection. And then I'll ask, well, have you ever asked them if they actually believe it's worth it? And they'll go, well, no. And I will, like, that's your first thing you need to ask. Do you believe you're worth three times more? Right.
Right. Good question, because what if you have a product you have to sell and your manager's given it to you and you've got quota that you've got to hit, and it doesn't matter what you think the price is warranted or not, you got to go sell it and hit your quota. What do you say to that salesperson?
Yeah. So let's say they say to me, there's two ways they can go, right? So one, they would say, okay, well, no, I'm not really sure I do believe. And then I would get, okay, well, let's do some research. That's the first thing you need to do, is you've got to sell yourself that the price is there, the value is there, that it's equal to the price, or you have to create enough evidence that proves that your price too high, and you've got to be able to convince, you know, management that your price too high. But right now, you know, you don't have any evidence either way, and it doesn't matter. It's what my mom would always say in debate. It doesn't matter what you believe. It matters what you can prove in the court of law, right? So I need the evidence to back it up. And so you don't have the evidence right now that says your price too high, and you don't have the evidence, you haven't done the work that says that you actually could be priced very fairly. And a reason why that could be the case a lot is there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of your colleagues that have no problem selling the price. So they currently believe it's the right price, right? So we need you to believe that as well. Now, let's say they say, no, I 100% do believe it's worth it. Okay, well, what stops you then from communicating that to the customer? And you know, what would you say to the customer in order to show them that the price is fair and that the value is there and it's a good deal for them? And so you would talk to them about that. Most of the time they actually do know what to say, which is really interesting. So then you would ask next question, which is, well, what stops you from saying that to them? And that's where you're going to hear the leash. That's when they're going to hear this. They're going to tell you a story, a rule, a reluctance, or a self-image that's going to prevent them from saying those things. And then when that happens, now you've gotten to the real root cause of why people aren't performing. It's very rarely, Sarah, a knowledge issue. You know, if you think about, I mean, right now, you know, you can go to YouTube to Apple Podcast and spend, you know, a few hours basically getting all the knowledge that you need to double your income overnight. But majority of people don't actually execute what they've been taught. So it's not really ever a knowledge issue. It's mostly a leash issue or a limiting belief that prevents them from actually using the knowledge.
That was really interesting. Jason Forrest, he is the CEO and Chief Culture Officer at Forrest Performance Group on Self-Talk. And when we come back, Jason, I want to talk to you about goal addiction. Four questions that can change your life. What are those questions? And also a little more about NLP and how NLP can get you into that 1% sales mindset when we come back on Self-Talk Radio Show.
Need to stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby? Check out meditations free at sleepmeditation.org.
Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest, Jason Forrest. He's the CEO and Chief Culture Officer at Forrest Performance Group, has an upcoming book you got to get your paws on. It's The Mindset of a Sales Warrior. And you had talked about using NLP. I think your coach was Susan Stageman.
That's right. Yeah, my coach was Susan Stageman out of Dallas, Texas, and we're myself and actually my business partner Mary Marshall were one of 20 people that she's actually certified to be a master practitioner in NLP out of, you know, 30 years of taking people through the program. So we're
you
less
said
than.
You said it changed your life.
It did. It's interesting because, you know, have you seen the movie The Matrix?
Yes.
So the best way I can explain it, and, you know, it took me over 2 years to get this certification hundreds and hundreds of hours. And it's interesting because the best way I can explain it is by the time I left and got certified in this, it's like I had an entirely new pair of glasses on. It's like I was in the Matrix. It's like I'm seeing things very differently now, and which makes sense because there's actually the business partner of Warren Buffett. Oh my gosh, I just really lost this. I just forgot his name. So the business partner of Warren Buffett, everyone look it up. He has a concept called mental models that is really cool. It's a really cool concept. He basically says, you know, the problem right now with the world is that, you know, we're kind of raised up in this one mental model. So let's say, for example, you know, you were raised up in, you know, a degree of psychology, and that's what your degree is, or marketing or finance or whatever it is. And you're raised up in that, art, science. Well, you graduate with that degree. Well, that's your own mental model of the world. Well, the problem with that is that you only see the world through that mental model. But let's say all of a sudden you come from, again, the world of marketing, and then you add the mental model of science. Well, the mental model of science would teach you things like hypothesize, test, and pivot, which is an amazing mental model. Well, now you take the mental model of marketing, which is all about bringing in leads, and the mental model of science, which is hypothesize, test, and pivot. You put those two together. Well, it expands your consciousness now of how you see the world. Well, now you add the mental model of psychology of what, you know, make people tick and what ticks them off and what holds people back. And you add that mental model. Again, now it expands your universe. It's like a multiverse kind of recognition. And so that's what NLP has done for me. It's just an entirely different way of seeing things. And it really helps explain why the top 1% think and act and behave and perform very different than the rest of the world. Just what's going on in their mental wiring? How do they see the world very differently?
So and then how do we teach that? Yeah, how do they perform differently?
Well, there's several things. So, for example, one way is that this will be actually, we can have an interactive exercise here. So, if you've ever been, you know, which I have, you know, Brad, moments where you've been depressed, right? And when you think about a time when you're depressed, you know, things are kind of in slow motion. Things are a lot of times in black and white. They're in still. Like when you kind of look back on your life during those times, like the pictures in your mind are, again, black and white. They're still, they're very small. And you feel very kind of small and little. But then the times that you are crushing it in life, it's like a 3D picture. It's like the IMAX. Things are color. You use all your senses. You hear, see, feel. Like everything is just very different. It's very bright. It's very big. It's very crazy, right? You see the difference I'm talking about?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, what's crazy is that you know, NLP basically studied, again, what is the mindset of the top? Like, how do they see things differently? And what they realized is that the top spends more of their life in that kind of big, bright 3D type picture IMAX world versus the rest of the population doesn't do that. And so there's actually techniques that you can actually use. And we teach those in the Mindset of a Sales Warrior book, techniques where you can actually change the picture. Your brain is very, very powerful. And so you can actually do replacement pictures in your brain of things that cause you anxiety, cause you depression, cause you anguish. Anguish is nothing more than physical pain versus anxiety is non-physical pain. It's more just like your heart, you know, fluttering versus when you're anxious, you actually feel it all over your body. And so there's techniques that you can actually do. And we go through those in the book of when a salesperson has fear. And that's one of the biggest reasons why salespeople will not perform is they're just afraid. They're just afraid to say assertive things to a customer or to kind of advance the sale forward. And so we teach them techniques of how to remove that fear and replace that to things in their life that are very powerful.
And that is so critical to be able to remove the fear because, you know, your customer can smell fear a mile away and then you lose them. Definitely. What was your favorite part of writing in The Mindset of a Sales Warrior? Was there a chapter that you just loved writing about?
So one of the concepts that I really, really enjoyed was one of the very early on concepts And the idea is, how strong is your me? How strong is your me? And if you think of your me, your ME, it comes from this commencement address that Steve Jobs did to Stanford. It's a very popular one. If you guys type in, Steve Jobs commencement address with Stanford, you guys will easily see it. But he has this one line in the commencement address, and he says, "Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your inner voice. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your inner voice." Now, this is a guy that's 2 years away from dying of cancer. He knows he's on his deathbed, and he's obviously a genius, you know, super successful. And this is the wisdom that he gives people. And basically what he's saying is, you know, you have the ability to create your own life script and, you know, choose to live your life and write your own script. Don't give the pen of your script to someone else. Don't let someone else write that life script for you. And so the How Strong Is Your Me chapter is really where I have them analyze all of their kind of people in their life, right? So their significant others, their family, their religion, their politics, their culture, their coworkers, their boss, all these different areas. And I have them evaluate and bring awareness to where are you in control of your own life script? So where is your me stronger than this group of people? And where is your me not as strong? Meaning where do you kind of live your life on their terms versus on the terms that you've chosen for yourself? And that's a pretty powerful one.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's so powerful. I mean, I could spend every week that changes for me. That's really powerful. Yeah. You know, I think for everyone that can happen. You know, you have a quote that I read on your website. A leader is a person you follow to a place you wouldn't go on your own. I love that. What leader took you to that place in your travels, in your career?
Great question. So I've got one of my kind of core beliefs is that I've actually run the company by, and that is, number one, our beliefs have more to do with our success than our abilities, because again, we use our abilities, our knowledge, the point of what we believe is possible. And then number two is the coaching along the way makes all the difference. And so the way that I run my company, the way I run my life is I always find the area that I call that I suck at the most. So what is the area that I suck at the most? I do. It's just what I do. And everyone gives me a hard time. Like, well, Jason, you're so hard on yourself. I'm like, well, I'm either hard on myself or I'm truthful. You know, I'm truthful. And it's that, you know, I suck at this, like whatever it is. And so I find that. And then I go find the most successful person that has got that kind of area down. And then I just submit my ego. And I, most of the time I, you know, ask them to coach me. Sometimes they coach me for free. Sometimes, you know, I have to pay them to coach me. Like for example, my most recent coach is, you know, I feel like we kind of suck at social media and really building followers. And so this is a plug out right now for Brendan Kane. So Brendan Kane, I found at this really great conference called AFES, or stands for Awesomeness Fest. And it's by the Mind Valley Group. That's a great, great group to follow. And he was speaking. He's the author of How to Get a Million Followers on Facebook. And so, you know, I immediately bought his book and he became my guru, and that's an area we suck at. Well, we immediately, you know, contacted him and said, hey, we want you to coach us. And so, you know, he's coaching us now. And in 28 days, we've gone from 1,000 followers on Facebook to 550,000 followers on Facebook, just by submitting our ego and following him. And so we'll make by August 1st, we'll definitely break the million mark on Facebook, which is pretty awesome on my personal Facebook page, on the Jason Forrest page. But I share that as an example because it's funny, because I went to my marketing team and I said, hey, we're going to pay Brendan Kane to basically counsel us and coach us. And I said, here's the rule though. Okay. I said, you know, we're paying him by the hour, right? So when we're on the call with him, he's got the conch, you know, he's got the mic, he's the one in charge, and don't waste the precious minutes that we're paying him by you talking about all the cool things that we're doing, because we're not doing very cool. We're not doing that many cool things. He's a lot cooler than we are when it comes to this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's a time in the future that's not on the company dime, where, you know, yes, we do things that are cooler than him when it comes to sales, for example. We're definitely better at sales than he is. He's better at marketing than we are. And so, sure, that's different. We can brag about that stuff or tell him about that stuff. But in this case, don't waste time talking about how cool you are in marketing, because we're not that cool at it, right? And that's a big life lesson for a lot of people, because I feel like people, you know, their ego gets bruised a lot, and they want to kind of like justify their existence, but they haven't really earned the right yet to. And so I've just run my whole life like that. I've always run, I mean, for example, when I was, when I started my career, you know, 15 years ago, I had a person that said, Jason, you're never going to be a great motivational speaker. And he just, and I said, well, why? Well, you don't, for some reason you sound more like a professor. You don't have that kind of motivational angle. You know, you don't have any theater background, et cetera. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go find the most successful speaker that I know. And I found this guy named Steve Siebold, and he had a program called, you know, Million Dollar Speaker. And I, at that time I was making $150,000 a year, and I paid him $100,000 over 12 months to turn me into a $1 million speaker. So $150,000, and I paid him $100,000 of my $150,000.
Whoa.
Right? So what happened though is this was 15 years ago. What happened is in 12 months, I became the youngest speaker in the National Speaker Association that booked $1 million a year in speaking revenue. Not because, like, but it's just strictly because I dropped my ego and I followed him and I was on coaching with him. And it was interesting because people still send me all the time, you know, referrals and so forth. And they say, why are you the only $1 million speaker that Steve Siebold has ever created? He's created lots of six-figure speakers, but not, I'm the only $1 million one. What's your special sauce? And I go, my special sauce is that when I was on those coaching calls, everyone else in the group, there was like three or four of us, would get off the call and say, I don't know if Steve's exactly right. I really liked your story. I really liked your message. I really like what you're doing. Maybe just listen to a little bit of Steve, but then I liked what you were doing. And they would come to me and they would say, you know, Jason, I really like yours. You know, I know Steve said it's not keynote worthy. Maybe it's like good for a blog, or, you know, it's good for like a, you know, a seminar or something, but not like a $20,000 an hour keynote. And so I don't know if you should listen to him. And I go, I'm listening to him. I'm paying $100,000 out of my $150,000 to like be coached by him. And I don't have time to decide if he's right or wrong. He's making over $1 million a year speaking. I am making $150,000 a year speaking. So I'm going to submit to him. And that's all he did. I always whatever he said, Jason, he would say, this is crap. This is horrible. This is not good. You know, I'm not approving this. And I go, all right, I'm throwing it out. I'll start over tomorrow. And like, it was just, that was the deal.
Yep. And you have to take your ego out of it and stop taking it personally, that it's business. And
yeah.
And now you're talking, how many speaking gigs you have? I think I read 1,000 annually. What?
Well, we don't have 1,000. Well, maybe my company has over 1,000.
So okay.
I gotta look at the website on what that says. So
no, I said, when do you sleep?
Yeah, I do about 90 different speaking events a year.
Nice. That's still quite a schedule.
I don't need any more than that. So.
Yeah, really. Who do you like? By the way, who do you like to work with? Is it corporations mostly? Do you do one-on-one stuff or?
Well, yeah. So if you go to fpg.com, that's my corporate training side. So we work with companies like Hugo Boss and Bulgari and Home Builders and Komatsu, big commercial equipment companies. So that's our corporate training side is FPG. If you go to my website, which is just jasonforrest.ceo, that's more my personal brand. That has to do with the mindset of a sales warrior, that has to do with like booking me personally for speaking events. But if you're looking for, if you're from a company perspective, I would say FPG. If you're looking more individual, then we've got a really awesome thing that we do on a monthly basis called the Mindset of a Sales Warrior Masterclass.
You can actually
go to FPG Masterclass and sign up for that. And that what's cool about that, it's never been done before, is I actually, every month, myself and Mary Marshall, we actually go through and specifically teach one of the 43 strategies around the mindset of a sales warrior. So we teach it. But the other thing we do that's really cool is people get to volunteer and request to be coached by me for the first 15 minutes of every masterclass. And what's cool about it is it gives people a case study to follow. So normally, like, you know, if you were to hire me to coach, you know, to be coached by me, it's like $1,000 an hour versus in this case, you get to actually for free, be one of the ones that I coach on a monthly basis and really show them how to get unstuck. But then we leverage that as a contribution to the society, to the group, where we break down, you know, how do we get that person unstuck and how does that apply to the rest of the people in the masterclass? Because I think people learn really well by seeing other real life examples, because we pick people that everyone can relate to, something that they're personally struggling with and need to be unleashed on.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Sign me up. I love that. That is great. Jason Forrest has been my guest. He's the CEO and Chief Culture Officer at Forrest Performance Group, FPG. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jason.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to seeing you guys on the masterclass. Again, it's just fpgmasterclass.com.
Thank you so much. I'm Sarah Spencer for Self Talk Radio Show.
If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.